May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Just some random thoughts. The scripture that Ron read from Luke chapter 11, the thing draw your attention to. Jesus has just prayed, and it's what we call the Lord's Prayer. By the way, it's not a spirit of religion to pray that prayer unless Jesus had a spirit of religion. He actually says, pray these words, and in the original language it means, say these words again and again. It's the most powerful charismatic prayer will ever pray. Charismatics tickle me because they'll write a book like Jabez's prayer years ago, sold millions of copies, and they ask you to pray the same prayer over and over again. But better not pray this one over and over again because Roman Catholics do that. Just insanity. Jesus did it before the Roman Catholics did, by the way. And so the disciples. But his disciples hear him pray. And there's another place when they heard him pray. And after they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so Jesus speaks to them about prayer and just relationship. And so he gives this example in verse 5. It says, and he said to them, suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me. The door has already been closed. My children are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. And I tell you, even though he won't get up because he's his friend, yet because of his audacity, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. I say to you, keep asking, and it shall keep being given to you. Keep seeking, and you shall keep finding. Keep knocking, and it shall keep being opened to you. For everyone who keeps asking, keeps receiving, who keeps seeking, keeps finding, who keeps knocking, it's open. He's talking about audacity. And see, the Lord is audacious himself. He tells us that he does exceedingly abundantly beyond anything we could ever ask or imagine. And yet our expectations are so low when his dreams for us are so high. And God wants us to move into a place to where we live in a realm where our expectations are always assuming that no matter how much I'm asking, he's going to do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything I could ever ask or imagine. So he said, well, I can ask for some pretty big things. Well, as far as your imagination can go, he's going to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that. It's just who he is. He's audacious. I think the greatest thing that we ask him for is increase in our experience of his presence. He's with us. He's in us. We're in Christ. Christ is in us. And so his presence being with us or in us is not an issue. But God altering things, the Holy Spirit doing things that change us, that open us up, that brings us in, him encountering him in such a way that our consciousness of his presence increases is a good thing. That's forever going to be. We're going to be blown away, through, even though we'll see him as he is, throughout eternity, we're going to have constantly new discoveries. That's going to be part of what makes heaven so extraordinarily heaven. And so I think the thing, one of the things that God loves a lot is when we're audacious about asking to experience more of his presence, because that's the greatest gift of all. Greater than power, greater than anointing, greater than favor is his presence. It's in his presence there's fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I mentioned this yesterday, that in teaching the Song of Solomon now for almost 40 years, one of the things that I've been fascinated with is this term that she refers to him, this Christ, over and over again. Her favorite term for him is beloved, my beloved, my beloved, my beloved, my beloved, which is awesome. Not just my Lord, or not just my Savior, or not just my King, or not just holy, but my beloved. And the last thing that she says, the last verse in the Song of Solomon is, hurry, my beloved, that longing for more. And that's not just about his second coming. It's about him coming again and expanding our capacity to experience his presence. And so I got curious this weekend. After all these years, I've never thought about which is the term he uses the most in reference to us. And the one he uses more than any other referencing to us is the word beauty. He says, you're my beauty. You're the most beautiful. But the other one is the word, my darling. In some translations, it's the word, my love. And as you were here yesterday, CTKers, that word, it's a powerful word. I did some more looking into it. It means another. In other words, it means more than a companion, but it means another. It carries the idea of someone I delight in, but more than I delight in, you're like me. We're kind of like, it's the word soulmate. You're my soulmate. You were made for me. That's why it says in Song of Solomon 2, your voice is sweet, your presence is lovely. And that word lovely is home. He says, your presence is home to me. You're like my soulmate. But it also has this powerful word, and it's, I don't know how to, in the Hebrew, I guess there's a good word for it, but it means cultivatable. You can be cultivated. To what? Cultivated to his presence, cultivated to experience him, cultivated into union experientially and oneness. You can be cultivated into likeness. There's things about you that can be called forth, that can be changed and transformed. It's not rigid. You're like clay in a potter's hands. I can do something with you that's transformable. And I think about, this is like about six sermons in one short little thing. Now think about, again, what we've been looking at for a few weeks about this beginning word from the Lord about the Holy Spirit's work, that even though the earth was dark and void and wild, and formless, deep, the Holy Spirit was like a bird, a dove, hovering, stirring things up, waiting for the word of the Lord to come forth. He could bring forth something, and in the end, after 6 days, God didn't say it was good. He said it was very good. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. I read one person who just the other day, which is fascinating to me because they referenced that passage again that I've been looking at for a few weeks in Genesis, and they called the Holy Spirit a cultivating presence. Now, that's true, and we looked at that, and that's what Jesus saw the Holy Spirit doing in the woman at the well. And what the Holy Spirit does, he just stirs things up in us, hovering over us, never going away, because he knows how cultivatable we are, and wanting to call forth things in us that in the end, in Genesis, God said, not just good, but very good. He carries a very good assignment. And I mean that in quotes, a, quotes, very good assignment that he wants to bring forth in us. And then I thought about, I wrote that in the devotional day, David, now all this will sort of fit, it makes sense to me, it may not make any sense to you. David, in Psalm 42, expressed this desire for more, for God's presence. He says, like a deer that pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you. And what he's longing for is a drink of God's presence. But if you go down in verse 7, it says, like the sound of many waters, that the sounds of a waterfall, and we know that in Genesis, the voice of God's like the sound of many waters. Like the sound of many waters. Your breakers have broken over me. Your waves have rolled over me. And I'm thinking, here's David. He asked for a drink of God's presence. And God responded audaciously with a tidal wave of his presence. That's just who God is. So if you have a longing for God right now, sort of an increased longing for him, it's because the cultivator has cultivated that. He stirred that up in you. And when we respond, I said this, even with a little peep, God, I want more. The God that we serve always responds with much more than you could ever imagine. If we ask for an audacious drink of his presence, he'll give us an abundantly beyond anything we ever imagine drink, a tidal wave of his presence. That's just who he is. Amen? So this is a word for those of you who right now in this season of your life have experienced an increased passion for more. And just to encourage you, whatever it is you're asking for, in comparison, it's going to be a tidal wave that God will respond to. He always, always, always responds to that. Draw me after you, Song of Solomon, and let us run together. And the whole book, from that point forward, is God's always positive response to that prayer that does draw us after him. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.